Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This is Tom, or Robots, as usual, and I have a very special episode this week. I know I've been trying to delve back into a little bit more of the deeper lore stuff and the nitty-gritty details, and we've been going through all the businesses, but we're taking a break this week because we have a very special event coming that I have... I'm very thankful to be included in this and that it is going to be close enough to my home that it'll be easy to get there. GCX 2025 is happening in Orlando, Florida, July 25th and 26th. So just a few weeks from now. And with me this week, I have one of the guys who's behind getting all this stuff together. I know you've heard of Fallout for Hope before. This isn't Ken. Ken's been on the show a lot of times. This is another influential streamer and personality who is behind some of the stuff going on and part of why I'm able to be involved with this event. Professor Broman, welcome. Welcome to the show. So glad to have you here.
Ah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for that. Thank you for that awesome introduction. Also, yeah. I just want to say all your intro stuff sounds so awesome. Like, quality.
Well, thanks.
Big fan.
Thanks. I've been working on this stuff for quite a while now. But I'm so glad that you are here. And in today's episode, we will be talking about, because Professor here and myself are both from Florida at one point. You used to live here. And yeah, we'll be meeting in Orlando in just a few weeks. But we were thinking it would be really fun to talk about, with our kind of nitty gritty experience about Florida, one of the big topics that our patrons like to talk about pretty regularly is where you would want to put future Fallout games. And we're going to make a really good pitch for why Florida would be awesome for Fallout and all the fun little quirky things that a lot of people probably don't know about. So we're going to get into that in a little bit. But before we get there, Professor, introduce yourself. Let people know how they can check out what you do and why you're involved with GCX and all of that stuff. How does that work?
Yeah. So hi, everybody. I'm Professor Broman or Ben. If you've seen me around the internet before now, I have been streaming for about 13 years. It's been my full-time job, which has been really, really cool. If you know me from anything, it's probably from Destiny. Way back in the day, we got a world first. It's hiding over there.
Nice.
For the King's Fall raid. And shortly after that, I think actually the same year, we founded GCX. So myself and some friends, we had a meetup at a bar in Tampa 10 years ago. This is going to be our 10th year because we always count SweatCon, our first year.
Okay.
And it's called that. Yeah. We call it SweatCon because we rented out like half of a restaurant. Wow. And we had space for like maybe 100 people. And then all these content creators decided that they wanted to come too. We had 42 different content creators show up. Some people traveling internationally for this spontaneous, like this meetup. Mm-hmm. Then we had 1,000 people show up.
Wow. I wish I had known about this. I didn't even, I'm, this is like my neck of the woods. Like I totally would have been down.
It was, yeah. If you want to get really hyper specific, it was the old, it was on Dale Mabry. It was the old, oh my God, I'm choking. I can't remember the name of the restaurant. It's closed down now. It's like a FedEx. So the restaurant's not restaurant there anymore.
Dale Mabry.
It'll come to me like randomly through the podcast. You know, we started there and then we moved a whole bunch of different places. We also had a whole bunch of different names, throughout our history, but there are two primary pillars to what we do at GCX, but the heart of what we do is raising money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, which we have been doing for the past 10 years.
That's great.
With GCX and all of the events that we work with, we've raised over $34 million for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital since we got started.
That's a little bit of money. That's amazing. That is a ton of money. Holy crap.
Thank you.
Wow.
It's a lot. I always tell everybody I was just the crazy guy that asked the question, like, what if we tried to do something for charity?
Yeah.
And it worked out. You know, our first year was really fun. I grabbed the PayPal link from St. Jude's website and I dropped it into the old Nightbot alerts. We tested it to make sure I could get a receipt from the charity, you know, for like all the tax reasons.
Yeah.
It worked and then we just ran with it.
Yeah.
And that, you know, from humble beginnings, We have grown to, the first of its kind event at Universal Studios Orlando, in Florida. And it's truly been an honor. It's been an honor to get connected with you through the Fallout for Hope team, who are absolutely incredible. And we will be having a lot of Fallout at, as you've probably seen on socials, lots of amazing Fallout stuff, as well as anything else gaming that you could probably possibly imagine. And all of that in the soundstage studios at Orlando, which is like where they filmed all of our favorite stuff growing up, like all that Global Guts.
All the Nickelodeon stuff,
old Nickelodeon. We are literally in the old Nickelodeon studios. Yeah.
You gotta watch out because you might get slimed if you say, I don't know.
I know, right? I'm really sad because like if you attend, when you're walking in, I think right by our registration is where they used to have the big fountain that you'd see like at the end of the shot, like filmed here.
Yeah. Filmed in Orlando,
but
Florida.
Now it's paved over.
Yeah. Very
sad. I know.
Well,
but yeah, that's a little bit about GCX. I always like to say it's because of the community that we built that we're able to do any of this stuff. You know, every year we have a charity marathon. This year, we have another one starting July 14th, running through July 21st. You'll be able to catch it at twitch.tv/GCX. And every year we bring together 42 plus content creators from all over the internet to raise money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And we have a lot of really fun incentives. We let people bring their own flavor and spice, right? Like we want everybody's communities to feel represented and really have a good time, because I personally believe that when we're watching awesome content for a good cause, it makes us want to support.
Absolutely. And, yes.
And yeah, so that's how we got started. That's what we do.
That's a great story.
And I'm really looking forward to the magic that we have cooking up for everybody this year.
Yeah. So if people might be curious, okay, like we will be there July 25th and 26th. So we'll be there. I'll be walking around. I might be involved with some other things. There are going to be voice actors. There are going to be computer setup where people are streaming. There's going to be lots of stuff. And if you're into Fallout, I reached out to Ken ahead of this, and I was like, Ken, what's some of the details I need to know to get people pumped about this, who might want to take a vacation? I mean, it's summer. You could fly down, go on vacation, go see Disney, you could go see Universal Studios, you could do Universal Studios with us at GCX, which is going to be crazy. But he gave me this. He wrote that there's a Fallout experience section on the show floor, essentially a slice of the wasteland where attendees will be able to step inside the most unique photo booth experience, a Red Rocket gas station and NCR encampment, which seems like like a lot of fun, especially for people who are pro NCR, to be able to do that. Or I guess pro Red Rocket also, like you're just super into the gas station. I know there's decorative stuff you can get in like 76 with your power armor stuff, but
love a gas station.
I just love those gas stations. But then also the Fallout community space will showcase unique arts, crafts, and collectibles, from custom made armor to lamps and more, all sorts of different things. And then there's even Elder Scrolls stuff. The Elder Scrolls community celebration section will feature a life-size Oblivion Gate and the Drunken Rose Tavern, where you'll join Elder Scrolls Online stream team members and Elder Scrolls fans for games and a unique LARP experience through Universal Studios Orlando Parks. This is quite just talking about that stuff, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, because this isn't just Fallout and Elder Scrolls. There's a bunch of other stuff going on as well. Also, he mentioned a number of voice actors who are confirmed to be there, and I know this isn't probably all of them, including Mark Meer, who people will know as Male Shepherd, most likely, but also voiced Max in the shoddy cast Fallout Brotherhood thing from like 5 years ago. Yeah, he was in that.
All right.
Peter Jessup is Paladin Dance and a bunch of other names throughout other video games. Paul Eiding is the Vault-Tec sales guy, but he's also a number of other characters. Jim Foranda is Claptrap from Borderlands, probably the one that you'll most recognize. 3. Yeah, yeah, all those. And there's a new Borderlands on the way. Neil Kaplan, lots of different characters in ESO and Fallout. Laura Kane, Fallout New Vegas as Trudy or Red Lucy, you might remember. And then also in Fallout 76 is a number of other characters. Lots of really cool people are going to be there. And I'm hoping I'll get the opportunity to interview some of these people and get them on the show. So There you go. That's the pitch. That's why we're hanging out. That's why we're excited. I'm so glad to be a part of this. This is one of the things I've been wanting to do over the last year, is get more involved with charity and ways to give back to people. I mean, the world is a dark and scary place sometimes, and if you can make somebody's life better, then why not, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And I love that. Like, I love to hear that. And as you could tell, like, we have a ton of stuff happening in the Fallout world. And of course, all these people on the floor, we're going to have other really amazing things. We're going to have a silent art auction where everybody from our artist alley brings some of their best stuff and auctions it off for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, which is, you know, the charity that we fundraise for. And if I could just plug them a little bit about what makes them special to me.
Yeah.
Their goal is to end childhood catastrophic disease, right? Their big quote is, no child should die in the dawn of life. They took on the impossible task over 60 years ago of curing childhood cancer, when the normal guidance from a doctor, if a child had cancer, was to simply just let them pass.
Yeah.
And for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer, leukemia, the subtype I don't really remember right now, the survival rate when the hospital was founded was around 4%. Their relentless work on it has raised the survival rate of that type of leukemia to 94%.
Wow.
In 60 years. And they have other incredible things that they've done. If you know about the Bubble Boy disease, we saw there were lots of movies about that when we were growing up.
Sure.
They created gene therapy that cured that. And they just did some incredible trials for sickle cell disease as well. St. Jude is a hospital that's focused on researching cancer, but they distribute that research to the entire world for free.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the when we talk about medicine, this is the closest thing. And I know we're talking about Fallout, but this is the closest thing we have to Star Trek on Earth right now as humans.
Right. Yeah. My wife. So, you know, and I think people in the audience probably know that I've mentioned this before. My wife runs a research lab. She does research on things Alzheimer's research and things like that. And I try not to get too political, other than when the Fallout is political. I talk about politics, but
certainly it's impossible not to be political.
But in our own world, if you know, and you're in the United States, you know that a lot of funding has disappeared for things like cancer and Alzheimer's and all sorts of other kinds of, autism, all sorts of other kinds of research. There is way less money going to those organizations or the research labs or whoever from the federal government than there used to be. And if you're going to contribute, now would be the time to do that, and to be involved with GCX would be a way to do that. So,
For sure. St. Jude is magic. The last thing I'll say is that they do all of this incredible care, all this cutting edge research for these families, but no family ever receives a bill from St. Jude for housing, for travel, for food, for anything.
That's amazing.
They take patients from all over the world. Like, you could be on the other side of the planet. You might then the hospital say, this is the person who has a type of cancer that we want to research, that we need to research, and we want to cure them. So we're going to fly them here and their family. And it doesn't matter how long they need to stay.
Right.
Some of these treatment protocols take up to 2 years. And for 2 years, that family has a place to live in the Domino's Village at St. Jude, where they don't have to worry about anything other than getting healthy and getting better.
That's amazing.
So, you know, my family was affected by a lot of chronic illnesses when I was growing up, and it made life very difficult for us. So to know that not only are we providing all of this incredible treatment when we work with St. Jude, but we're also alleviating any of that stress that I'm sure any parents listening know when your kid's sick and you have to figure out, how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to do all this other stuff? All of that pressure is removed. And so you are in the best possible position as a family to help your kid heal.
Yeah. Well said.
And that's why we do what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. And being able to offer help like that means that even the people with the most need, the people with the least amount of financial means, have the ability to get help, which is important. It's important. There's a lot of people who are overlooked in this world simply because they grew up with less things than other people. So that is amazing. Well, thank you for doing what you do. And I'm so glad to be able to be involved this year. And so I'm looking forward to that. And if you are interested, there's a link in the description of the show. You can open it up in your whatever podcast app you listen to. Click the link, wherever that is. Or just search GCX 2025. You'll find a link online. You'll be able to sign up and check out all the different cool stuff that's going on. So that's, we'd love to see you there. I'd love to meet some of you in person, shake some hands, and hear some Fallout stories in person. That would be amazing. But speaking of Fallout stories, we're hanging out to talk about what Florida would be like if the Wasteland was here. And my gut says we will probably get a New Vegas 2 sometime in the next few years if Microsoft passes this off to Obsidian, like is rumored might happen. The next main Fallout game, I would say it's going to be in New York City. That would be my guess. And we've talked about this kind of stuff on the podcast before, but we're going to make a great pitch for why we think the developers should bring Fallout 5 to Florida. And Professor, what do you think? Let's just go through some ideas. I've got some ideas. You got some ideas. What's one of your first ideas for why this would be a good idea and what it would look like?
So it's like a very different climate in Florida, right? Very, very aggressive fauna and flora just off the rip.
It is Australia of the United States.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, I would like just initially you have a great group of character possibilities when it comes to the native wildlife, right? So, yeah. I mean, mutant alligators would probably, I mean, I would love, look, if we're pitching this, all right, imagine this. You just see it's the swamp, right? And then you have a death claw walking through the swamp and then alligator bigger than you've ever seen, size of a bus.
Okay, what if we
Fallout Florida? I'm in.
Okay, what if we take it up even one more notch? We have a death claw, and then we have a gator claw show up, and then they start having it out,
even
right?
Better.
Because it's like, how did Florida get gator claws? Well, who knows, but they're here. And then a gigantic mutant, like alligator or crocodile, it could even be a crocodile, because we do have some crocodiles way down in the south part of the state. That thing's like 10 times their size and just swallows both of them whole.
Amazing. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like the Jurassic Park Rube Goldberg machine of giant, larger things eating stuff.
Yeah. And then some sort of like big python or something shows up and eats.
Oh, yeah.
Eats
oh,
the giant you got it. Alligator.
You got to. And then I don't know how, but something about iguanas falling out of trees.
Oh,
like
man.
If you're not from Florida, it gets cold, the iguanas get cold and they just fall out of trees. They can fall like right on your head. So like, I don't know what they could do with that, but maybe the warm temperature makes them pass out. So you like have to watch out for falling iguanas
or
when it gets too hot.
Or there's some sort of story thing about how the weather's all messed up. And there are times where it goes very quickly to freezing. So all the amphibians and reptiles all just get stuck, right? But then like that only lasts for a very short period of time and then it gets hot again and then they thaw out, right? And this is something a lot of people don't know. Iguanas are in the southern part of the state, but they, as you move up to the northern parts of the state, like they're not there. They're more likely to see them in Caribbean islands, but in the very southern part, there are iguanas. If you've ever seen an iguana walking around, it's weird. They move weird and they're big. They're like the size of a small dog.
They are big, like, yeah. And they, like, it's not something you want to mess with. Right?
No.
Like you don't want to mess with an angry, scaly cat. They got claws too. Like they can mess you up.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, okay. So we've got weird reptiles. We got reptiles hanging in trees, falling out. Did you know alligators can actually climb trees and fences? This is a thing.
Those videos are insane.
Yeah. That's weird. So you could have some of that going on. Okay. So we're talking about the swampy stuff, but what if we expand it out to the beaches and the ocean? Because that gives us things like hermit crabs, which we already have. We've got like the hermit crab with the bus, but you could have like a hermit crab with like other more Floridian things like a trailer park home or or something else. I don't know. What
like
do you think?
Any like no, just having like that's I love that because we could you could just have any of those like suburban neighborhoods that are by the ocean that have been like recently built and you have massive hermit crabs are like, yeah, like this is my 3-5 house that I live in because I'm giant, right? Or trailer park or whatever. Like that would be, I would, again, that would be phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I want to play it like right now.
Or one you can like ride on.
like a pet?
Like a pet?
Like what if it's transport?
Right. What if you could train it? What if it's like trainable?
Nice buzz.
Yeah. Okay, but it would have to be intelligent enough to be trainable, which leads me to my next thought. Aquatic species that is highly intelligent are dolphins, and dolphins are regularly along the shorelines of Florida. What if they evolve through FEV and radiation or whatever, and they become smart enough to become like kind of like their own clan or like race of intelligent beings?
Oh, yeah. You could totally add like dolphins. So you have like, you know, you have humans, you have ghouls, all the other stuff. And now you have dolphins.
Dolphin people. Right. Right.
Yeah. Dolphin people. They, you know, like, I don't know. They could be all kitted up in suits.
Yeah.
Make little mechanical arms and legs, like whatever.
Right. Right. Like, they breathe oxygen.
Like Steel Brother, like Brotherhood stuff. They can repurpose it.
Yeah. They've got like mechanical legs and mechanical arms, and they sit in a suit that keeps them like hydrated. Because they got to keep their skin wet, you know, but like, I mean, they don't have to be that wet, but enough to just kind of keep them moist, you know, and then they walk around and they make those little chirpy sounds, but they understand what they're saying to each other. And they have these expressive eyes that like get angry at you and stuff.
Yes. I'd be a huge, huge fan of like a dolphin, and like their whole civilization could be like semi-aquatic.
Yeah. It's on the coastlines. You know? It's up off the water, but also down in the water. These like mecha dolphins who just kind of live on the coasts.
I also wanted, like, one of the things I thought of was a retirement home, like retirement city ghouls.
right?
Like, I just think of like the villages.
Yes.
But everyone survives. Right. So they've been on vacation and they've just never stopped.
I can't tell. Right? Are you like 97 or are you a ghoul? I'm just old. OK, just wasn't sure.
Yeah, you get like, I think retirement village POIs would be incredibly fun, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can really get into like, what was it like in the before times? Like, how did everything go down in Florida? It'd be great storytelling.
Or some of the old people they didn't ghoulify, but somehow stuck around for over 200 years.
Yeah, they just got longevity.
Right. They just like they were a part of like the trials and tests that were happening before the Great War started to try to extend longevity. And at some point it just worked, but nobody like the world ended. Nobody told them. Nobody followed up with them. And so now they're just really old, but they're not ghouls, but they kind of look like ghouls.
The experiments went right for the first time. Right. And there's just like,
this community,
like 50 people.
Yeah. This community that's just been living
there. They don't know. They're just like, world's over, I guess.
Yeah. We don't know. Like, we don't know what's going on.
The clock's ticking on me, I think. Yeah. Right. So retirement homes. I also feel like it could be interesting, you know, since vaults are underground.
Mm-hmm. Underground,
Florida that does not go with Florida, right?
If people don't know,
the water table,
the water table is really high in Florida. That's why there's no basements in Florida, because you dig down even one story and you get down to the water table. Also, underneath Florida is mostly like limestone, and like it's a mess down there. You don't want to dig down underneath Florida because everything will get swamped and you'll create sinkholes and who knows. So you couldn't really make a vault. But what were you thinking?
Oh, I mean, I was thinking like it would definitely be fun to explore multiple ways that those vaults could have failed, right? Mm. You know, like I imagine one of them, like you've seen it when somebody drains their pool and they're not supposed to, right? And it just pops up out of the ground.
Right.
So I'd imagine like the entire vault structure above ground, like
they tried to make the basement
and have to work your way up.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's like, well, they tried to bury it in the swamp and they had it secured somehow and it failed. So now we have, you know, Vault City or whatever. I thought that would be interesting. One of the other things that they love to do in Florida is just build stuff really wide.
Yeah.
So like a really large and flat vault would be something I could imagine, where it's just like a square mile of concrete is all it looks like.
It's like a giant shopping mall, but it's a vault.
Yeah.
And it's just like low to the ground. It's just like a slight mound. It's just like slightly underground a little bit, just as far as they could go. I think it would be cool to have like a Bioshock vault that's off the coast of like the Keys or something, and it's underwater. Yes. And that's how what's protecting it is just under what's built to be underwater. And of course, sections of the vault have flooded and things have gone bad at the time. Maybe that's where they're doing experiments with the longevity of the old people.
underwater vault.
Well,
I would love, and if we're going onto the ocean, you know, like Florida has a lot of islands, right? Yes. We have the Florida Keys.
Right.
So I feel like anybody who got marooned out there, if they survived, if there's ghouls around, they're all like, I would imagine they'd be seafaring. And so like ghoul pirates coming in and raiding the coast. Look, if you're looking for active time events, right? If you're listen, Fallout, I know you're watching. If you want to design, look at all this. This is great. But then now you have like ghoul raiders along the coast. Like, oh no, great for Fallout 76.
Yes. Yes. Well, in here, so there's Florida rumor. Expansion. There's rumor that Bethesda is taking the spaceship tech and using that for Elder Scrolls 6 to do things like ships in the water, to do like the Iliac Bay. What if they then took that tech and put it into Fallout, and now you've got pirates in Florida off the coast, like the Keys and those kinds of things? That could be cool, because pirates were actually here in Florida. Like, yeah. you can learn about that. And so that would be really cool. It's like raider factions that are pirates. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also curious what the Florida environment, like how the Brotherhood would approach engineering that. So it could be interesting to see them go away from nuclear power and into solar, just because it's the there. Yeah. So having like a whole solar Brotherhood city or something like Brotherhood of the Sun, Sunburnt Brotherhood, like whatever you want to call
Sunbros.
I don't know, just be a bunch of guys like, we have to put this armor on because the sun fries us here,
right like, yeah, all the power armor suits are just like the tops are plated with like solar panels.
Yeah, they're just real shiny.
Yeah, they're just real shiny, and then if you like break them all armor. Then they lose power, and that'd be cool. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. The other thing that now you've got opportunity for power armor that kind of looks like old diving suits. Also along the BioShock kind
right.
of thing.
Yeah, so right. you have the dichotomy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
That'd be crazy.
And we got to talk about theme parks. They're all over the place in Florida. So, you know,
the big
survives?
Ones and the little ones. You have everything from Disney World and all the other stuff going on with Disney World to the other parks. You know, you've got your Universal Studios, and then you have over in Tampa, you've got Busch Gardens. You have, and there's a bunch of, you know, SeaWorld. There's a bunch of other ones that are kind of smaller, but then there's even the little roadside attractions, which I definitely think we should bring in. Things like Dinosaur World.
I knew. Yes, that is my world.
Yeah. So Dinosaur World is like, if you're driving between Tampa and Orlando, it's on I-4, the main road between the main interstate between those two cities. And it is one of those roadside attractions that's been around, as far as I know, since people used to take the back roads on family vacations in like the 50s and 60s or whatever.
Yeah, it was around when I went there as a kid.
Yeah. And it's not real dinosaurs, of course, but it's also not animatronic dinosaurs. It's just gigantic statues. It's an entire park of just gigantic dinosaur statues that aren't bones. They look like what the dinosaurs might have looked like.
Yep.
And it's just on the side of the road, but like that could be weird. But there's even more weird ones. But you were thinking, okay, so let's go back. I'm feeling we should start at the top with like the big ones. What would you do with the big theme parks? We got Nuka World again, or what?
You could do I'm not sure how you'd want to put it together, right? Because we have to be. You can't just steal, right? Copyright stuff. So like, you know, like Nuka-Cola World or something like that.
Yeah,
would
like
be
an even bigger.
Fun.
Yeah. Right.
Even bigger. Yeah. Only all of the robots in there that have brains in them are sentient. Uh-huh. You know, it's all like former park staff. Like that's what the Nuka-Cola team was like. All right. Well, we need to keep this park running no matter what. So what we're going to do to you, Jimothy, is we're going to take your brain and put it in this robot, and you're going to run the front turnstile for the rest of eternity. And like it would just be a very fun exploration of... like working at a theme park for 100 years, like it.
Yeah, yeah. And if the leadership's still around, we could have kind of like a Mr. House New Vegas kind of scenario going on.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, but over in Florida, in a big theme park. So now you have like, I don't know, the Bob Iger, or maybe actually Walt Disney himself, similar connection to Nuka World or something Nuka World adjacent, and that person is like still alive and still running the park with all of these robo brains, which were all it was in the small text on their contracts when they signed up, and they were like, if you die while in service working your job, then we have the right to use your brain.
Doomsday scenario clause.
Right,
your heart stops, so your brain belongs to us.
Yep. Sorry, you gotta run that the turnstile for the rest of your life. You gotta sell popcorn at the little vending station forever. When I found out that Quince wanted to sponsor the Fallout Lorecast, I was super excited. I took one look at their website and I was like, holy crap, these are all the clothes that I need to update in my wardrobe. Specifically, with the weather getting cooler again, I've been looking for some very comfortable, warm pants that work both for working out of the house and just sitting here in my office all day, but also going out into the real world, you know, getting dinner in the evenings and those kinds of things without having to change and yet staying warm outside. I found some corduroy pants that are super comfortable. I was so excited to get them in the mail today. I tried them on right away. They fit great. They feel so soft. They're so nice and warm, and here I am sitting in them right now. They feel so good because they're made with premium materials, but they aren't going to break the bank because they cut out the middlemen and the traditional markups and bring you the same quality as the luxury brands, but at a fraction of the price. So those corduroy pants I bought and the long sleeve shirt are going to keep me warm and fashionable this winter, and they're way less expensive than they look. So what Quince staples are you reaching for this holiday season? What do you need to fill your wardrobe with? Jackets, sweaters, pants like I got, or are you thinking about holiday gifts or maybe something beyond just clothing, something for your home or bath or kitchen or for traveling this holiday? Get your wardrobe sorted and your gift list handled with Quince. Don't wait. Go to quince.com/falloutlore for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/falloutlore. Free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/falloutlore.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
I feel like there would be, you know, because like they're really fun, unique food and snacks there, mm-hmm. right? Like whatever the standard fare is from the rat, like out in the universe, right? You'd come there and you'd get like extra size everything. Yeah. Like, you know, like, oh, would you like a jumbo crab burger? Like a Meyer Lurk? It's going to be, you're going to love it. You're going to love the whole thing. And they just like drop down a Monster Hunter style plate in front of you.
Right. Yeah. I was thinking Flintstones, but Monster Hunter's are much more.
Flintstones is reference. Good too.
That would be great. That'd be great. I also think, so if you were to create a theme park, there's all sorts of different kinds of rides, but then so many of the theme parks, there are animal attractions, which is something did in Nuka World as well. But one of the things they didn't have is, if we go back to the water stuff, a place like SeaWorld, where you have orcas and stingrays and all sorts of weird fish and dolphins. And there's all sorts of potential for SeaWorld. In fact, if you had the intelligent dolphins, maybe they take over a SeaWorld analog and then that becomes their like kingdom.
Yeah, the SeaWorld kingdom of all the dolphins, that would definitely make the dolphins hate humans, though.
Oh, yeah. The dolphins would hate humans, but they
the
also would treat
they
the other.
Because they're like, you what?
Yeah. So that's the story, is that they hate the treatment of sea life by humans, by capturing them and displaying them like this. But then they do exactly the same thing to the rest of the sea life because they're not as intelligent as they are. So they commit the same sin that they're upset at the humans for doing. That would be a totally Fallout thing for sure.
Oh, yeah. I would. I'm trying to think of some other food. I like gotta have like an iguana burger or like an iguana burrito.
Yeah, alligator. Alligator food.
Alligator. Sorry. Oh my god, gator bites, like mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Like little gator and cheese bites.
Yeah. People are gonna be like, wait, you guys actually eat gator? And I'm like, well, some people do, but it's not like it's a regular thing just because we're from Florida.
It's a great snack. It's very high protein and it's not as tough as you'd expect.
And here it tastes like chicken. Yeah. So yeah, I've never tried it.
It's like legitimately.
Yeah. All right. So if we expand to some of the weirder, like smaller attractions, you have things like the Coral Castle. You know about the Coral Castle? I'm sure lots of people have heard of this. Like, I don't remember the guy's name who made it, but this is like 100 years ago. Guy has this premonition, things like he's being, contacted by aliens or something, which in Fallout could have actually happened. And he decided to make a castle on his own out of coral and just build it on his own, right? And it's
I remember this guy now.
Yeah, I don't remember his name. I didn't look up his name because I just remember the place. But that's super weird, right? Like, that feels like a weird thing that you could do a Fallout-y thing with. And yeah. Or even make the Coral Castle even bigger and it becomes like a dungeon of some sort. Or maybe the Coral Castle was actually a vault. And that's why he was drawn to the location and didn't know it, is that for some reason he got like he was getting like transmissions from the location. And so he built a Coral Castle right on top of a vault. And now the two are connected, you know, 200 years later.
I love that. I think there's so much. There's so much quirky stuff about Florida. I was trying to think of you could like. Okay, well, I mean, if we're going to take another quirky Florida thing,
yeah, go for it.
There absolutely somewhere in the wasteland of Florida has to be a group of meth addicted ghouls.
Yes, right. For Florida man, there needs to be a Florida man tribe.
You've
of
gotta ghouls. Have. There's yes. Like, I don't know if it's ghouls or an entire Florida man settlement, but both. Like, just you go in there and it is like a absolute insane circus, and it's normal every day for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Or raider gangs that are meth addicted, but then when they die, they ghoulify and then they're meth addicted ghouls. And the two are related. There's a story there. Yeah. We absolutely need some Florida man stuff, some weird and wacky things from that. We've got like places like Gatorland. That's a thing. But then did you think about this one? Weeki Wachee is still around. It's another one of those old attractions where people dress up as mermaids and they do these little shows underwater and all of that. I'm thinking this is a great opportunity to have actual mermaids, like real mermaids, but they're mutants. They were mutated due to some experiment with humans and fish and who knows, you know, kind of like there's a number of human mutated weird kinds of things throughout different Fallout games, right? Centaurs and stuff like that. But these look like mermaids, but they are messed up looking. They're like some sort of weird amalgamation between like humans and fish and manatees or sea turtles or something. And they're called mermaids, but they are terrifying.
I would love some mutant manatees that had some sort of psychic power.
They just float around looking all chill, and then all of a sudden they take over your mind.
Yeah, they just like mind control you, or they just blow you up. Yeah. because the manatee has no natural predators, so it'll just like walk right up to you and try and give you a hug. But I would assume after, you know, the bomb, they're like, okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Or we find out that they've been telepathic the whole time, but they just mutated to be able to use it on us.
Right. You can hear their voices, and their voices sound like
you hear like sirens. Like if you're walking around, you can hear manatees.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like walking, you're trudging through like a creek or something, you know, and it's starting to get a little bit deeper. And then all of a sudden you can't see under the water yet. And all of a sudden you hear, slow down there, partner. And you're like, what was that?
I love a southern manatee.
I'm in your head. I'm a manatee. And you'd be like, what?
I would. Yeah. And then, you know, maybe they're sympathetic to people because people were always nice to them. And we have two aquatic factions between them.
Yeah.
And dolphins.
Yeah. And so they're reasonable. You can communicate with them because they're telepathic. But then you don't know that they can just destroy things with their mind. And then all of a sudden you see like an alligator come out of like the brush towards where the manatee is. And you're like, oh, watch out. There's an alligator. And he goes, no problem. And then he just turns and just like pops the alligator's brain. And then it goes, as we were saying. And then you continue your conversation. You're like, oh, okay. Don't mess with the manatee. Got it. Oh, telepathic manatees. That's great. My wife has a coworker, a colleague from another lab that came down to do a thing. And sometimes when researchers from other labs come into town, they'll take people out for dinner and they'll say, hey, what do you want to do while you're here? He's obsessed with manatees, wanted to go see the manatees. But then he was a little bit nervous about it because he's like, well, can they squish you? Like, we all thought it was hilarious. We're like, they're just, I mean, they're big, but they're not going to squish you. Anyway,
a giant picture, a neutrally buoyant cow. Like, it can't do anything.
Right. It's not going to squish you. It might bump into you. But yeah, so that was always funny to me because it was just like the image I see every time I see a manatee now is getting squished by one somehow.
That would be a sad way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Do you have any other ideas on your list? I've got a few more, but if you got
one. Let me. I don't know how you would do the selections, but you'd absolutely need a tropical radio station.
Yeah.
Right? Like a Jimmy Buffett sounding, right? Because I know we got to keep with the 1950s. Mm-hmm. But like Jimmy Buffett-esque, like, hula music, like everything.
Yeah, it would be, like, a, it like would be fantastic. Boat music, beach country.
Yeah,
a little bit of island stuff, like some reggae,
yeah, Polynesian stuff.
Yeah, any of that stuff, all kind of wrapped into one with a host that is of that persuasion. I don't know, you go any of those directions, but yeah, maybe just Jimmy Buffett knockoff host. Yeah, that could totally work.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that and Margaritaville.
Yeah,
I think an awesome cross branding opportunity for Jimmy Buffett. It's just actually Margaritaville, unchanged. Right? Everyone agreed that Margaritaville needed to stay exactly the same.
Yeah,
so they built it, and it looks just like a normal Margaritaville. I think that would be hilarious for me.
Yeah, that'd be great. And then of course the music has to be like older versions of all of this music.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Like it can't be like modern sounding. So here, this is fun. What about the Ringling Museum in Sarasota, like Ringling Brothers Museum? It's like a circus, but like people may not know this. There's a big mansion and actually kind of a plot of land that was owned by them. And now there's a museum there about the circus and all of that. But also, this was where, I don't remember which of the brothers lived there, but this is where they lived in Sarasota, Florida. And because of that, many of the other circus workers, including carnies, which probably is a phrase that offends people at this point, I don't really know for sure, but circus workers, if that's offensive, I'm sure somebody's going to write and say, yes, Tom, that's offensive. Now I'm offended. I didn't mean to offend anybody, but what traditionally were called carnies, circus workers, live in an area near Sarasota called Gibsonton. It's another city in the area. And this is a place that has traditionally been known for that. And if you go to those locations and you just happen to be at a store, you might run into, say, you know, the world's tallest man or the bearded woman or whatever the traditional kind of stuff was. And all of these people lived in this community because they all got along and they, you know, weren't mean to each other, because a lot of times people would feel like outsiders and all of that. So you could play up both the circus side of things, but then also the old timey, like world's weirdest, whatever. But it would be way beyond just like, oh, this guy's really tall or this woman has a beard or anything like that. It would be like mutant, all sorts of weirdness, you know, like.
Yeah. 40 foot tall man.
Right. Right. And so you take
living
those,
human hairball.
Yeah. And they all are just making their way still by being circus performers and traveling around to different settlements. And maybe they just wander around the map. Maybe they aren't just in one location. That could be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Like unique encounters. Are you listening, Fallout? Yeah. Like little drop in events. Like you gotta stop the 40 foot man's rampage.
Right. Yeah. Oh, he's grumpy today. You gotta stop him.
Yeah. I feel like there also would have to be some like weather control experiments going on.
Mm, yeah. We could talk hurricanes. I mean, we get hurricanes every year.
Oh my God.
So yeah. Like there's probably some form of like weather control or like a, I don't know, some sort of like satellite run grid system that's tried to protect the state from the hurricanes, but now it doesn't work and it made them even worse or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, you got to go inside, but you don't have day night cycles. You just have storm and no storm cycles. Like you have to get inside the hurricane every other day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things that happens in Florida in the summers, which we're getting into now, is you have the daily rains, like the clouds go over the state because it's a peninsula. Every day, the clouds go over the state and everywhere just gets all the rain, especially near the coasts. And it rains for thunderstorms so bad for like an hour and then it's just done.
Yep.
But you could have like the daily hurricane. Just be like, it's just hurricanes every day. That's how messed up the weather is now. And then that totally changes the way you play the game. Things can go flying in the air because of wind. You could have super mutants who that like can still walk around, but you can't. So you have to take cover, you know, something like that because it's so windy.
I love the weather. I love a good weather system. And hurricanes are scary. Like, you know, what I'm sure, you know, you've lived through your fair share of them. Like they're scary in general. So like bringing that to life, it would be fun. It'd be a fun experience in game. It would be harrowing.
Right. Plus you could add in tornadoes because there are tornadoes inside hurricanes. That's one of the most deadliest parts of hurricanes. But also Florida's one of the like lightning capitals of the world. So
Tampa.
Yeah. So you could be in a fight, a storm kicks up, and then all of a sudden the super mutant behemoth, who's the tallest person in the area, gets hit by a lightning bolt. Right? It's just like, and then like fried, and then just falls over, and you're just like, oh no, okay, gotta find some cover. Lightning happening. So you, instead of like rad storms and stuff like that, you've got like other kinds of weather events. Or you could even have like radiation storms that are hurricanes also.
Just really, yeah, you could really scale up the, instead of having like the hurricane alert, like 1 through 5, it's just like one, it's just wind and rain.
Yeah.
Hundreds of miles an hour, but it's just wind and rain. 2 is lightning. 3, there's tornadoes spawning everywhere. And 4, it's radiated. Everything is covered in radiation.
Right.
It picked up a bomb out from the ocean and.
Right. Yeah. And if you
do a nuke.
And if you could build settlements like in 4, then when a storm picks up, maybe it damages the settlement, or maybe there's tech you can build into your settlement that helps protect certain parts.
Yeah.
You could have like a whole.
Gotta get the weather control chip.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like a little throwback to the water chip.
Yeah. Weather control chip or some sort of like alternate GEC that's suited more for this environment. Something like that.
Yeah.
That would be cool. All right. Anything else on your list? Any other ideas?
What else did I have? I mean, I got so much. I love a good brainstorming session. We touched on this a little bit, but I think another way to use some of the smaller stuff or like smaller tourist attractions would be like, because they're essentially tourist traps, right?
Yeah.
If they just kept being that, right?
Right.
Like if they just kept trying to trap people.
Right. They're raider locations where they're just like trying to get people, kill them and mug them or whatever.
Yeah. They're like, no, come on in. It's dinosaur world. The dinosaurs don't move. It's totally safe.
Totally
like,
fine. Just
relax. Here's some food.
Wait, isn't that a guy's leg over there? Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Then you get in there and they're like, all cannibals and you're the next meal, like you know just tourist trapping everybody. I thought that I like that.
Mm-hmm. One of the big jokes,
last one on my list,
I like that one of the big jokes in Fallout is how there's not cars. I mean, there was a car in 2, but Bethesda hasn't put cars in their games, right? That's just a thing. But what if you could ride around in like golf carts? In fact, you could have
of course,
right? Like you get a little golf cart and you can drive it around and, you know, or on the water, you could have other vehicles. Or there's the whole golfing thing. You could have, I mean, golfing's a big thing in Florida. You could have, have golf courses up in 76. You could have a golf course, but then you could also have golf course stuff, you know, like gophers and, you know, whatever else. Yeah.
Flamingos.
Like you see flamingos, or of course you see alligators and things on a course, but yeah, mutated gophers. But then like, can you imagine a gigantic flamingo, like a mutant monster flamingo?
Yeah. I'd be a big fan of that fight.
Yeah.
Be a nice, you would fight a flock of 20-foot flamingos.
Oh man. Oh man. Feathers just go everywhere. It's just like everything. Yeah. You just pink, just all over the place,
like a horde of get inside.
yeah and then the weather system kicks up and all of a sudden the feathers all get blown around in the tornado that hits you. So here's another fun one. Do you know about Casadega, Florida? Does that ring a bell?
No.
Casadega, Florida.
It sounds like I've heard the word before, but yeah, tell me more.
Right, so this is a little snippet I looked up before doing this. Casadega, Florida is known as the psychic capital of the world because of its strong ties to the spiritualist movement and the presence of many mediums and healers. The town's official name is not Casadega, the psychic capital of the world, but it is a popular descriptor, which is a funny thing from the article. But I thought that was funny. But also could be like it could tie into the manatee being, you know, telepathic, but also like maybe there's a vault there in Casadega, but it all had to do with research about spiritualism and psychics and experiments. And that's how the manatees got their psychic abilities, is through the vault. But also there are still people there, or ghouls or whatever, who have psychic abilities. Can you imagine freaking psychic ghouls, like telepathic, telekinetic ghoul
monsters?
I feel
like they need to make this game.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be amazing.
Or modding community, you know, like you're out there. Like, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. They're doing like Fallout Miami. Isn't that one of the ones they're working on? I think so. I think there's a Fallout Miami mod that's in process.
Well,
if I'm remembering the name correctly. So that one is in process. So maybe they can take some of our ideas for that.
Please.
Yeah, so there's Casadega, and then there's do you know about Spook Hill in Lake Wales? Like spooky.
I know about Lake Wales.
So Lake Wales, right? It's in one of the cities, kind of in the middle of the state. This is a gravity hill. It's one of those illusions where the car appears to roll. You let your car roll, but because of the illusion of the way the land looks, it looks like it's rolling up the hill when you put it in idle and you just let it roll. But it's actually rolling down, but it doesn't look like it because of the weird angles. I don't know what you could do with Fallout for that, but it is a weird Florida thing.
Yeah.
Gravity maybe working the wrong direction in one of the towns.
Oh, yeah.
Like something like that, where like, oh, things seem to like
anti-gravity research lab.
Yeah.
Nearby.
Yep. Yep. And then
you find out like, oh,
yeah. And then you could do a connection from that to the Kennedy Space Center. And so then you could delve. So one of the things that a lot of people have since Fallout 4 have wondered about, okay, the battle on the moon, what went on with that? There's like the mural with pictures and there's like a little bit of history about like this battle that happened on the moon. Maybe we could get more details about that stuff at the Kennedy Space Center. And then you could have a DLC where like, instead of like Mothership Zeta, where you go into a spaceship, you're on the moon. Like, what if you take a rocket from the Space Center up to the moon and then, I mean, I feel
yeah, they've like got cool like DLC. A fully functional reusable rocket that they never got to use. And so it's taking trips every other day just because it's like on autopilot.
Sure. Or what if there's a community that's been living on the moon in perfect peace ever since the Great War because they built a sustainable colony and they're like, yeah, we're not going back to Earth. It's a mess.
We're
just going to live on the moon now. Yeah. And so now you find all of these like normal moon people and they have this wonderful community, but yeah, and of course something's wrong and then you know it plays out in a certain way, but like maybe somebody this is the idea, it's one of those places that looks perfect but it's not perfect. Somebody escapes it, makes their way back down to the planet, they land in Cape Canaveral and then you meet them and you're like, okay, I'll go with you back to the moon colony in order to fix the problem or whatever. Like you can draw a connection there and then you take their rocket back. Yeah.
I need to play this game. Now I'm completely invested now.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is a good pitch. I think this is a good pitch. I think that if Bethesda is listening, which they do listen to the show. So if you're listening and you're looking for ideas, you know where to get them. These right are here. All awesome ideas. I think we've designed pretty much a game that works. And because of we were talking about this a little bit in the pre-show, because of the way that like the map, so Appalachia is much broader and wider based on the individual locations that are featured in Fallout 76, but they kind of condense it down. I feel like you could totally condense everything from like Cape Canaveral down to the Keys over to Tampa all into like one 76 sized map.
Yeah.
And then some coastlines and some water stuff and whatever else. And of course, the weather and all that craziness.
I'm thinking they could do a great job. I'm thinking that like, I like that. Yeah, I think like a fun, nice map design. You get islands, you get the water, you get a little bit of everything.
And Florida Man. And Florida Man on top of it.
And Florida Man.
So there you
everywhere.
Go. Yeah, so that's our pitch. Bethesda or Fallout Miami. I'm sure you have a lot of your own ideas and maybe probably some of these other ideas, but it's the little details, the little ones that I am more interested in, because everyone's going to think about Disney. Everyone's going to think about like Miami Beach or the Keys or maybe Cape Canaveral, but like it's the little ones that I want to hear. Like, and this is something they've done previously very well in a lot of the games, is taking those little details from like places in New Vegas that are actual real world locations and did cool stuff with them, or in Boston, you know, like they've done a good job of that. So, all right, there you go. Now we know what to expect. I'm just going to pretend like they're going to take our idea and this will be Fallout 5. So every time I talk about Fallout 5 from now on, it's going to be Fallout 5 Florida.
Florida.
Yeah. So there you go. So, Professor, thanks for joining me again. Is there anything else going on you want to tell people about? Like, what are you streaming lately? Where are you hanging out? Man. What's going on?
You know, you could catch me anywhere online, at Professor Broman. That's me. Lately, I've been playing a lot of the Elden Ring Night Rain that just dropped. That's been really fun. And I've been, on a journey to try to get good at driving. And so I've picked up F1. So I do that every Sunday. If you want to come talk about F1 racing and teach me how to not suck.
F1's crazy. F1 is
wild. And yes. I got the, you know, like I have like the rig, not like the whole thing, but like force feedback and everything. Wow. And yeah, like I've already found myself taking turns differently in real life. So that's, it's going to be, I did literally pull into my driveway. Like today I was like, oh, let's go wide. And I was like, dude, you're learning. Good job. Like, so
gotta make the best line possible around the corner here.
Yeah. 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 You gotta follow the perfect path. You know, and yeah, like that's it. I like if you want to come hang out and have some good conversations and you know, enjoy some bald content, then then I'm your guy.
So that's twitch.tv/ProfessorBroman, all one word.
All one word. Professor Broman. I got in real early, so yeah. I don't have to have underscores or numbers or anything. Very blessed.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to hang out. And I look forward to seeing you and meeting you in person. And thanks for being involved with all this cool stuff and raising money for charity and really getting all that stuff going. Because that is amazing. I can't tell you how much I appreciate what you and people like Ken and the people who have that drive and also the right talents for organizing that kind of stuff. That's not something that comes naturally to me. So when people like you put things like this together, it really is wonderful because it's nice to be able to be involved, but I don't know that I'm the right guy to drive the bus, you know, but it's right. Cool. I'm glad that you're doing that.
Organizing, it's a bit of a bear, but you know, like I always say, it's I'm just the guy that asks, hey, you want to do this? You want to do something cool? And we really do, you know, like I said earlier, I just love watching what people come up with, to raise money and make an awesome show each year. So, and I guess if I had to advertise something, I'd say keep an eye out on socials. Our creators who are joining us for the charity marathon this year will be announcing their participation. We'll also be announcing all of the in-game items and stuff, that we'll be having during the marathon, for you to get with your donations. And please tune in, starting at noon on July, 14th.
Yeah. July 14th. So it is the Twitch channel GCX.
Twitch.tv/GCX event.
GCX event.
Yeah. We had to have the name longer. I think like three letter, like names, they don't let you do that on Twitch. So, so we went with GCX event. And that's also where you can follow us on all of our other socials is GCX event.
Yeah. Go follow the channel, go to GCXevent.com for tickets to the site and check out more information about that. And if you have any questions, jump on our Discord. You know, you can shoot me some questions. We can chat about it, you know, maybe get a group of people together and make sure we can all meet up at a certain place, that kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
So,
we'll lots of fun places to meet up. Lots of things are being planned by the both the Fallout community and the Elder Scrolls community. So keep an eye on socials for those. I don't know everything that's happening for the community because Ken is always organizing more stuff because he's incredible. But I promise you, people are putting their heart and soul into making a fantastic experience for everyone there this year. And we can't wait to have you.
Absolutely. I'm sure Ken's going to plan some stuff. So we'll just kind of tack onto whatever's going on there. And also real quick, if you've been hanging out and you enjoy the show or you've been listening for the first time, and definitely check out the rest of the content. Most of what we do isn't speculation. It's more actual detailed lore stuff. And I'm sure you can find episodes that you'll enjoy if that's really what you're looking for. Also, if you'd like to help me and make sure I can keep going, you can join us on patreon.com/FalloutLoreCast. I would regularly shout out new patrons, but we don't have any in the last week. It's only been a few days. I'm doing this week a little shorter than usually do between recordings, but you can come join us on there. You get ad-free episodes, t-shirts, and stickers. You can join us for our patron chats, all sorts of fun stuff. That's patreon.com/FalloutLoreCast. And you can also help out the show by rating us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. If we get a new one,
do it
in the next week, I'll read it out on the show. And you can also share it with your friends. If you know people who love Fallout, let them know. They can come listen. All right, Professor, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And until next time, try not to get into a rad storm hurricane with a bunch of gator claws and giant flamingos, because that sounds like a bad deal. Unless you're having fun playing the next Fallout game and it's in Florida. Then get into that. That sounds awesome. All right, see you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.